it's interesting to think of prayer as, again, this training of the will. You know, God wants to work through our will, but our wills are broken. Our wills are clouded by sin, by our original sin, by our actual sin. Our wills are impure. You know, we want to do God's will, but we also want to eat a bag of Cheetos, right? Like, our wills are impure. They're broken. They need to be refined and purified. Well, hello and welcome back to Deep in Christ. I'm your host, John Mark Grodi, here at the Coming Home Network International. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer. We had a question come up in our online community that you can find at chnetwork.org. One of our members, if I remember correctly, somebody who's on the journey to the Catholic Church, I can't remember the background, but she asked this great question. She's been digging into the prayer and devotional tradition of the Church, the rich treasury of prayers and devotions and spiritual practices and disciplines. And she's getting into them. She was sharing some of her reflections there. But she shared a concern, and this is a concern I think that many of us encounter in prayer. Many people on their way into the Church encountering a different kind of mode of prayer, different ways of approaching God in prayer. They have this concern. And I'm not going to read her question directly, but asking this question, like, doesn't some of this begin to sound like prayer is magic, or in some of these devotional practices, might we fall into this trap of thinking that our prayer is magic? Okay. In other words, you know, that, you know, if you pray a certain way, X, Y, or Z is going to happen. You know, that if you pray with these conditions, you know, this right thing, then God will be compelled to do X, you know. And there's a lot of jokes about Catholics, you know, because throughout the history of the Church, there have been many devotional practices that have been misunderstood, and there have been a handful that were pretty goofy and maybe give a bad rap for the rest. But I want to dig into that a little bit today, because actually I think this is a really helpful topic to think about, this question of, well, we know that prayer isn't magic, but what is it? What is prayer? And actually, I think that comparing, contrasting what prayer actually is, what it actually is supposed to be, what we're called to by Christ in prayer to pray, right? Contrasting it to what it's not actually helps us to see what it is, what it's supposed to be, and the subtle ways that all of us, not just those that we caricature, not just the bad Catholics or caricatured Catholics or any Christian, all of us, there's a battle in prayer of putting our heart in the right place, approaching this activity of prayer with the right spirit, so that, we're not trying to do magic. We're not trying to compel God. We're not using prayer as a stopgap, as a merely an aid to our own efforts. But no, prayer really is the thing. Prayer really is the relationship with God. Prayer is something that changes us. Prayer is powerful, but we have to understand why and how. So that's what I want to dig into a little bit today. Okay, so one first place to start here, I think, again, just thinking about what do we mean when we make that statement, prayer is not magic. Well, what is magic, right? Okay, well, magic, I guess we would understand here as, you know, some sort of formula or words or actions that necessarily prompt some sort of response, right? We imagine like a Harry Potter kind of scenario. Someone is waving a wand and poof, something happens, right? We know that prayer is not that for all sorts of reasons. For one reason, because prayer, we're talking to God and we can't compel God to do anything. God isn't changed by our prayer. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But also, again, prayer is not a matter of our power. That's something we got to think about too. Prayer is precisely, in some sense, a laying down of our own power and referring to God and His power for our needs. This prayer of petition, this prayer of supplication, we turn to God with our needs. So we know that prayer, obviously, is not magic. God isn't changed by our prayer. We know that that can't be the case. You know, for God to be God, He's unchangeable. He's timeless. He's already perfect, so there's no perfection that we can give to Him by suggesting some good thing He ought to do. There's nothing we can pray for that He hasn't foreseen from all eternity. So prayer doesn't change God. We know that that can't be the case. But then how is prayer powerful? How does prayer do anything? What is its point and purpose? Well, obviously, not obviously, but part of it, right, is that while God doesn't change, we change, right? In our taking this step in obedience to Christ of turning to God in prayer, God doesn't change, but we change because we're making this step to turn our wills towards God, to seek his will. And from all eternity, God saw that. He sees us in prayer. He sees what we're praying for. And a big piece of this, I think, is just recognizing that God is a good father. And what that means is that he wants to work through his children. He doesn't just do everything for us and have us sit on the sidelines and then we come into heaven. No, he actually wants to transform and change us and work through us. He wants to work through our works, but he also wants to work through our prayers. He wants to work through the prayers of the righteous man, the prayers of the righteous woman. That's one of the ways he wants to work through us, to empower us, to bring us in and make us part of his saving action is through our prayer. And the way, again, that can work is that, again, God is not, he's not changed in time by our prayer, but from all eternity, he sees us. And it's when we pray that we step into his will and he works through our prayer. And so when prayer is answered, and all prayer is answered in one way, shape, or form, but even when prayer is answered in the way that we're praying for, you know, we're praying for someone to be healed, we're praying for help with a certain problem, it's when we pray for that thing, we're stepping into God's will, and then he's working through us as he always planned to and desired to do from all eternity. I think a real big key here is precisely that prayer is this training of the will. I think that's where a lot of its great power lies, is precisely in the fact, as I mentioned earlier, that in prayer, we're specifically laying down our work. You know, we could almost think of prayer in terms of God's commandment to keep a Sabbath day, right? We have a work week, right? We work, we do things. We use our hands, we labor in the fields, we make money, we do what we need to do for our family and taking care of things. We're using our own power that he's given us, and we're trying to use it well, morally, you know, for his glory, for our neighbor's good, but we're using our own power. Well, what's great about prayer, what's great about the Sabbath day, right, as sort of an analogy for prayer there, is that we're specifically called by God to lay down our power, the power that he's given us, right? We're to lay aside our work, and what are we to do? We're to enter into prayer, where we align our wills, we attempt to align our wills with God's will, but we lay aside our power, right? When we go into prayer, and we pray for something good. You know, we pray for someone to be healed. We're praying, again, for help with a problem that we have. We're praying that God's will be done. You know, all those petitions there in the Our Father that the Lord gave us. We're aligning our will with God, and we're willing good. But without our power, we can't actually make that good happen. And so in some sense, it's interesting to think of prayer as, again, this training of the will. You know, God wants to work through our will, but our wills are broken. Our wills are clouded by sin, by our original sin, by our actual sin. Our wills are impure. You know, we want to do God's will, but we also want to eat a bag of Cheetos, right? Like, our wills are impure. They're broken. They need to be refined and purified. And God does that. You know, he does that by his grace in all sorts of ways. He does that when we do obey him in our actions. He works to refine our wills. Whenever we make a choice to act in line with his will, then he refines our will through that. He purifies it. He cements, solidifies the good disposition of our will in line with his. But again, thinking of prayer as this moment where we're aligning our will with God's, we're directing our will towards the good, but even without the aid of our own power, we can't actually do anything except to be there with God, except to speak love to him, except to ask him, except to humble ourselves before him. And so in some sense, prayer we can think of as this preeminent way that we turn our will over to God and allow him to heal it and refine it, so that when we leave prayer, properly speaking, all of our life should be a prayer in one sense, and increasingly so. But when we specifically leave, you know, our kneeler, when we leave our prayer spot, when we leave the sanctuary, the church, and we go out to do the work that God's called us to do, well, we go out with a will that's been refined by our attempt, by our cooperation with God, to will the good things that he's put before us. You know, if we go back to think then about Catholic prayers and devotions and novenas, all these kinds of things that look really weird from the outside, really suspicious, you know, to someone who suspects perhaps that Catholics are trying to work their way to heaven or they think that their prayers are magic, you know, we can recognize in some of these things both that they can be confusing on the outside, but also that even in our own battle, our own journey in prayer, that there's always this temptation to emphasize the wrong thing in prayer or to begin to think, subconsciously at least, of prayer as magic. So take an example of a novena. If you don't know what a novena is, it's a long tradition in the Catholic Church that 9 days or 9 segments of prayer, we call that a novena, prayed for some intention. You know, and so you might pray the St. Joseph Novena. You can look up the novena online. 9 days, you're praying, you're talking to St. Joseph, you're praying for his intercession, you're asking him to pray for you, you're reflecting on his life, and you have a certain intention, a certain prayer, you know, petition that you're keeping in mind throughout those 9 days. Now, again, the magical way of thinking, the way that the wrong way of thinking about prayer there is that, well, the power in this prayer, the power in a novena is the external formula, that it's got to be 9 days, can't miss a day, you know, you got to get all the words right. And if you don't get the words right, or if you miss a day, then, oh, it's not going to have any power. The prayer's not going to be powerful. Now, that's certainly not what the church teaches. And that's probably not what even any Catholic would ever explicitly believe. But, you know, we got to be careful of casting aspersions at other people. I think all of us slip into thinking that our words, the formula of our act, you know, how we pray, how we worship, how we arrange the externalities of our life, that's where the power lies. You know, Catholics get accused of works righteousness because there's a lot of stuff that we do, right? But the reality is, again, all those things, all the stuff in the Catholic Church are ways that we approach God's grace and he's working on us. It's not, the power's not in our working, our willing. It's in God, and we just approach him and let him work on us. But all of us, this is the thing, all of us slip into relying on our own wisdom, our own understanding, our own working to bring about the good in our lives. I mean, whenever we get frustrated, think about it for a moment. Think how every time we get frustrated, we get angry, we stub our toe and we're cursing there in the dark in the middle of the night on our way to the bathroom. Whenever that happens, we're experiencing a brief moment of atheism in a certain sense, right? Because we're cursing at reality, perhaps the author of reality, and saying, why isn't the universe working according to my whim and will, right? We're frustrated because our wanting things to go our way should be enough. And we're frustrated when reality doesn't act according to our will, right? Whenever we're frustrated, whenever we're hurrying, think about hurrying, right? Not just moving quickly, not just being efficient, but hurrying, whether it's at work or getting our kids ready for school or trying to get supper on the table. When we hurry, why are we hurrying? Because we think that success, that goodness, that fruit, that happiness, beatitude, whatever we're working towards is dependent primarily on my work. And so I try to multiply my work, right? And then once in a while we catch ourselves and realize, whoa, hurrying is just going to get me anxious. It might turn out at nothing in the end anyway. I have to give this to God. I have to let go and simply be faithful. Yeah, cooperating with God, but trusting, no, he's in control and he'll bring about the fruit. I'm simply here to be faithful. And so there's no sense in hurrying. Bringing this all back to prayer, again, all of us struggle with that battle in life. You know, whatever your prayer looks like in your particular tradition that you're coming from, all of us in our work and in our prayer struggle with trying to stay on the right side of that line, praying from faith, praying from the Sabbath, praying from this place of trust in God, knowing that the power is not my action, but my cooperation with God's will. That's where the power lies. It's all in God. And he wants to work through us. Again, that's his choice. He doesn't have to work through our prayers. He doesn't have to work through our actions. But that's the kind of Father that he is. He wants to work through us, and he wants to change us through the process. So, again, going back to Catholic prayers and devotions, a novena, again, the power in a novena, if novenas are powerful, and they are powerful, right? I believe they are. I've prayed many novenas in my life for different intentions, and God has answered many, many of my prayers, all of my prayers, in ways that I can't always see, but sometimes in ways that I can see. But the power in there was not because I got all 9 days. In fact, I'm not sure if I've ever completed a novena properly in my entire life. I'm not sure if I've never missed a day. I've always had to make one up, you know, or extend the novena to 10 days. So the prayer, the power is not in the length. The power is not in the formula. The power is not in the perfection or multiplication of my effort or my ingenuity. Obviously, that's not the power in prayer. But the power in prayer, right, is cooperating with God and making of myself a gift to God, a living sacrifice to God. So when I make a novena, right, if I decide that I'm going to pray for something, not just today, but I'm actually, Lord, I'm going to pray for this thing, for this person who's sick that I'm worried about. I'm going to pray for them over the course of 9 days. Again, the power is not in the 9 days, not the fact that I'm doing more, but that I'm making of myself a gift. I'm giving a gift of love to God and to that person I'm praying for. And the power is in that love, God working through me in love and in that relationship with God that I'm engaging in. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that prayer, not just that prayer leads to the relationship with God, but prayer is the relationship with God. The power of prayer is in God and my relationship with God. In prayer, I approach God, I enter into that relationship, and because God is a good Father, he chooses to work through our good prayers. So that's something to keep in mind as we approach, you know, especially if you're approaching Catholic prayer and devotion from a different tradition. Some of it can look kind of weird. Some of it is weird. You know, again, not everything that has Catholic slapped on it means that it's necessarily good. But there are even many good, holy, traditional Catholic prayers that will seem weird. But recognize that the power isn't in the formula. The power isn't in the multiplication of our efforts or ingenuity. The power is in God. And all we do is we show up and we make a gift of self to God. We align our will with God. I want to go back to what I was talking about earlier. Again, I think a really powerful thing to keep in mind about prayer is that God wants to work through our wills, but our wills are broken and impure. And so that prayer is one of these primary ways that we make this attempt. We make this essay, right? We try to will as God wills. Now, we're not God. We can't see his whole plan, but he's given us our little area of responsibility, our little sphere of influence. And within that, we have concerns, we have needs, we have problems. And so when we take one of those, and we should take all of those, and bring them before God, and we will in prayer, we will the good as far as we can understand it, right? We say, Lord, you know, I ask that this person be healed. I ask that this person be comforted. I ask that you fix this problem in my life or show me the next step that you want me to take. And we don't always will perfectly when we do that, right? We know that oftentimes we're willing things that when we look back later, we're realizing, oh, my heart was impure. Or I'm actually glad God didn't answer that prayer the way I asked of it. But nevertheless, when we make that attempt, when we engage our will in prayer, we are attempting to align it with God's will. And in that state, in that process, God can refine it and impurify it. You know, in John chapter 16, verse 23, truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. We're invited by Christ to ask in his name. And we will receive. It's interesting to think about praying in the name of Jesus, right? We don't pray for bad things in the name of Jesus, not things that we know to be bad, right? We don't approach God and ask for something sinful in the name of Jesus. I think we'd all feel sheepish doing that. And so whenever we pray in the name of Jesus, even if our prayer isn't for something perfect yet, not perfect in line with God's great design and will, in that process, we're being changed. Our will is being brought closer in line with God's will. It's being refined and purified and strengthened. When we specifically ask in the name of Jesus, we're inviting God to change us. We're inviting God to certainly to work through us if that's his will. If we're praying for something that is in his will, but we're also asking, we're inviting him to conform us to Christ. If we're conformed to Christ, then yes, anything we ask in Christ's name, as a son to the Father, he will give to us. The last thing I just wanted to say, obviously, I think if we think of this whole question of the nature of prayer, prayer is not magic. Prayer is conforming our will to God's. God does want to work through our prayer. He commands us to pray. I think, again, one of our keys there is then, right, that as we dig into different devotional practices, if we pray a novena for somebody or whatever prayer mode you're engaging in, the main thing is to pray. And I think the next main thing is then to just always be reflecting that whatever the content of our prayers, whether we're praying the Liturgy of the Hours or praying a rosary or we're just praying expositorially with God, or perhaps we're digging into the scriptures and reflecting and, letting God speak to us and then praying over what we've heard, whatever the mode of prayer is, right? We want to, I think one of the main things we want to practice is the right disposition going into it. When we go into prayer, are we slipping into that magical thinking of I'm trying to prompt a certain response? Maybe not even a certain response in God in terms of an answer to my prayer, but maybe we're trying to prompt a certain response in ourselves, right? I think we've all had times when we've gone into prayer because we wanted to feel good, right? We wanted to be comforted. We wanted to have good, happy, fuzzy spiritual feelings. They're not always there. Sometimes we're given that gift. God makes himself present in a very consoling way. That happens sometimes, and that's good, and we receive that. Thank you, Lord. I love it. But that's not always the case. And it's good that sometimes it's not the case, because those moments we realize, I went into this prayer trying to prompt this response, trying to get this thing from God, trying to control the outcome of this prayer, rather than simply going into prayer and praying and leaving the rest to God, aligning my will with God, and then leaving the outcome to him. So going into prayer with this right disposition of heart, we go to God with humility. God is God, we're not, and we're turning to him when we go into prayer. We go into prayer sometimes beginning with the active sorts of prayer, right? Thanking God, praising God, asking for what we need, right? Those active sort of forms of prayer. But there's always got to be this backdrop that the greatest prayer is not the prayer that we're saying to God, but it's simply our being there with him and letting him speak to us, right? And so even when we go into active prayer, we want to keep that place of peace, of receptivity to God. Even when we're giving to him, we want to be receiving from him. And so that even when we bring our petitions to prayer, we're focusing on simply showing up and showing love to God and conforming our will to his, and then sort of having, just being open for whatever the answer is, right? Whether there's an answer to the prayer in the way that we envisioned it, the way that we wanted it, or whether the prayer is silence, whether the prayer is the invitation for us to persevere, whether the answer is just something we didn't expect at all, right? We go into it not imposing a certain outcome, presupposing a certain outcome. We go into there with this posture of receptivity, and we persevere in prayer. I have in mind Philippians 4, verse 6, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a connection here between true prayer where our heart is aligned with what prayer is really supposed to be, where the real power is in aligning our will with God's and letting him work, letting his power flow, letting him work through us, if it be his will. There's a connection between that true prayer and the theological virtues, I suppose we could say, the basic relationship we have with God of faith, hope, and charity. Whether I approach God rightly with this right heart of trusting Him, of hoping in His promises, of loving Him, whether that's the basis of my life, or whether my life is based on my own action, my own understanding. And I'm just bringing in God for a little assistance here and there. But most of all, I've got this figured out. I know where I'm going. I can mostly do it. I just need a little help in prayer once in a while. No. True prayer is connected with this right existential, fundamental disposition towards God of trust, of hope, of love. So hopefully some helpful things there to keep in mind as you continue in your own journey of prayer. I mean, that's another piece to keep in mind too, that prayer is a journey, right? Prayer is not a formula. It's not something we can just get right and, oh, we did it. We're done. We've prayed, right? No, prayer is engaging in this ongoing journey of growing in our relationship with God, a person that we're in relationship with, but also a person who's transforming us through our prayer and through the actions that arise, that are prompted through our life of prayer. And so the main message always with prayer is just persevere in that prayer. Show up, right? Every day we should have a time of prayer. You should know the day before when you're going to be praying the next day. It should be guarded in your schedule. It should be the Sabbath hour of each day, just as we guard and protect and observe a Sabbath day every week. So persevere in prayer. And while you're doing so, please pray for me. I want to remind you, as always, that this program is a production of the Coming Home Network International. We're a network of converts to the Catholic Church. We've got an online community with thousands of people who are new to the Catholic Church or exploring it for the first time. You can check that out at chnetwork.org. We also have a free newsletter. It's been going for 30 years now. Every month, a new person shares their story, their long conversion story, their testimony of how they discovered the fullness in the Catholic Church. We'd love to share those things with you, with all free resources, the community, the newsletter, and many other things besides that you can find at chnetwork.org. So check it out there. We'd love to pray with you and walk with you as you continue your journey with Jesus Christ and His Church. So until next time, I'm John Mark Grody. This is Deep in Christ. God bless.